I met today's guest on Instagram. What a great platform for connecting with people. And since I've been doing Reels, a lot of people have been commenting on my stuff. So I'm finding a lot of like-minded people by doing silly, stupid Reels. So it's been so fun. So if you're on Instagram and you look at my Reels, I hope you like them. I like using and lip syncing to those little funny voices. So that's what I do in my spare time. But this person, Jen Wrigley, she is on Instagram as well, and she helps women over 50. She's big on empowering women over 50, and she's close in age to me, although she's a bit younger, but she's close in age to me, and she's very passionate about women our age who are looking for something new. Or she talks about pivoting. So the art of pivot is, as she likes to explain it. So she talks about her pivots in her life, what she thinks pivots are, how they happen, why they happen. There's different kinds of pivots, some that we don't want, some that maybe we do want, or that we're nudged to. And then she gives some valuable advice near the end, which I love because I always like tactical, like tell me what to do that will help me, even if just take the next step. So she curates content, basically. She has a background in marketing. I'm sure she did a lot of research in her job, and very similar to me, corporate background. But I was in project management versus marketing. I had to deal with marketing people like her. So anyways, always setting dates and making us do things that were like technically impossible to do, but which we always got done. So kind of funny. We didn't talk about that in the episode. But so she is creating these content guides, which are highly valuable in different areas. So she's learning a lot in the process of what she's doing. And you can tell it just kind of lights her up. And really what she does, a lot of people could do. So, you know, if you like Jen and you think that, you're looking for a pivot, pay attention because she will teach you something and something that you might can pivot to. So without further ado, and that all rhymes, let's get on to the episode.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today my guest is Jen Wrigley, and she goes by Flourishing Over 50 on Instagram, which is how we met. So I love meeting people like her who are similar in age to me and are doing just new things, and not just like new things, but just putting themselves out there, just helping people, unselfishly posting things that are serving other people. And she sounds like, I mean, we'll talk in depth about what her background is and how she got to where she is, but it sounds like she's kind of a jack of all trades. She knows a lot of stuff. And so welcome to the podcast, Jen.
Oh, thank you, Laurie. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to have you. She sounds like she's a lot like me. She said she likes to cash out. And so I'm super casual today, no makeup. But that's why we have filters, right? But yes, you look very nice.
Thank you for the tip on filters.
Yes. I was telling her about Instagram filters and how you can actually on Instagram grab somebody else's filter that they're using if you like it and save it for your own to use on the next video or whatever you do. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, taught me that. And that's why children are so valuable, and even grandchildren now, because they can teach us a lot of stuff about all this technology that I didn't even know about. And she's about to turn 40, my oldest, and she uses filters that I would use now. So that's great. So Jen is not afraid to say her age, which I love. She is embracing her 59 years. So when are you going to turn the big 6-0?
This summer.
Ooh,
very exciting. Yeah.
Yes. I actually found my 50s to be my best decade. So when I was getting ready to turn 60, I just had this whole mindset that, well, the 50s were my best decade. So my 60s are going to be my even better decade. So I'd like went into it with that. And then the pandemic hit.
I think that's great. 50s have been a challenge for me, and we'll talk about some of those things. But it's gotten me to the point now where I am so about 60s being fabulous.
Yes, and I love the what you use, flourishing. That's such a great word. Like, I'd love to know how you came up with that word, because so many people hem and haw and like, what's the perfect name to have on my social media? People, especially who are going into business, or even if you're not going into business, you're just trying to come up with a snazzy name that isn't your own name. And I remember how Not Your Average Grandma started was just a joke. Like, I was just doing it to be silly because I was trying to get in shape. So how did you come up with the flourishing?
So I just love what you said about you did a little mention about people really getting stuck on what to do. So, and I don't do business coaching, but I may well get into that, because I'll tell you, I was very fortunate. Flourishing over 50 just came to me out of the blue, I think in bed one night, but it was after probably a few years of, I'm passionate about empowering women, really girls, women around the world on a global basis. And I put some time and effort against that. So it has been a passion of mine for a long time. So the passion was there. I knew I wanted to do something. I was going to focus on women over 40 or over 50, or really over 50. I think we are a unique group. And so the name came to me out of the blue. I was so fortunate with that. But I will tell you, so many people get stuck with either the name or their logo or their branding. And I can sit here and say all of that is just not important. What's important is you take action. So just come up with something and move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. My coach says his first online course was James Awesome Digital Course or something like that. I was like, that's great. Because, it's just an example of like, don't let a name stop you. So yeah. So that's so great. It's so funny too, because you wanted to talk about the art of the pivot. And I'm excited to talk about that, because I think we do take a lot of turns as we move forward.
Yeah.
And when we look back, I think that made us who we are. And we're in the pivot in the moment. We're like freaking out. But after the fact, we're like, oh my gosh, I totally understand why that happened. And I'm so glad it happened, because it taught me this or that. So yeah. So I would love to talk about how pivots, what you think, what your pivots actually were, and how you define a pivot. Mm-hmm. But, talking about names and logos and that sort of thing, like one thing that I see, and it's, and when people do it, it's like, oh yeah. But when you're in it, it's like so hard to see that. I just saw somebody, she created a new podcast name. She did a new podcast name 6 months ago and was saying, oh my gosh, this is my third podcast name. And now just 6 months later, she's changing it again. And it's like, but like, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. And so if you're becoming more refined, or you're going more towards where you want to go, who you've evolved to, then yeah, go for it. Yeah. Don't keep doing something that doesn't align anymore.
Agree with that. Although I will say that the content is most important. So whatever the name is, as long as you're make sure your content's good. But of course, you know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So matches like,
yes,
like Not Your Average Lives. I want to talk to people who have Not Your Average Lives. And so if I had like something completely different, then yeah. Right. All right.
So let's get into what I like to call the art of the pivot. I'll give you a little bit about my background and get right into some of the pivots I've had to make. And as I prepared for this, I was like, wow, I have so many pivots. I can't really talk about them all. So I'm going to talk about some of the key ones. And you mentioned, you know, what is a pivot? And what I like to, the way I like to think about pivots, and especially for women our age, is pivoting can come to you out of necessity. So for example, you lose your job, or you have a health issue, or someone you know gets sick. So sometimes pivots are what I call pivoting out of necessity. Something kind of happens to you externally. But I think, and those are really important. Those are things we tend to dwell on, and we also get negative about.
Mine was a divorce. So
perfect.
Yeah.
I was in the negative mindset really for quite a while because of all of these external things that had caused me to pivot. But like you said, you come out of it on the other end and you're able to look back at it. But there's also pivoting out of what I call intuition, or really knowing yourself. And what that requires is you're paying attention to your life. And I think women, I would say 30s and in our 40s, very few women are actually able to take the time to pay attention to their lives and what they want. So your intuition might be pushing you. You might be getting things through your intuition, thinking things, hearing things. And it's really taking the time to pay attention to those things, which would have you pivot in a different way. So maybe you haven't lost your job, but you're feeling burned out. You're feeling this isn't right for you. And something is telling you, this isn't right. And so you on your own start to look for something that might be a better fit. So those are the two ways that I look at a pivot. And a pivot is really just sounds almost like it would be in sports. You kind of stop and you turn. It could be a full 360. I think a divorce is something like that, where your life has changed pretty dramatically. Or it could just be you've taken a step and now you're down a little bit of a different pathway. So something like that could be as simple as a different job at the same company. So there's all ways to pivot. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself and a couple of my pivots, but I spent about 25 years in corporate America as a sales and marketing executive. So the company I was with, I was doing some of the biggest deals in the company's history. So $50 million deal, $25 million deal. So I was a fairly senior sales and marketing executive working with large corporate clients. So I worked Walmart, Sam's Club, Kraft, and I worked with them to primarily create loyalty programs. So consumer engagement, customer engagement programs.
And where do you live? Just I'm curious because I have a lot of Canadian followers.
Okay, so I'm in Chicago, and I spend a lot of time in Michigan, where I have a cottage. So you'll see me when I'm posting this stuff, I could be in multiple places.
Well, I see like blossoms outside your window. So,
so you're somewhere. Chicago's a little delayed, though. We're just getting it now. So I had this really great career. Was making a lot of money, or making good money. I don't want to say a lot. Everyone has different thoughts on that. But I was lucky. My husband actually, I stayed home for the first 18 months when I had my third child. And actually, that was maybe an early pivot. I ran into my former boss at a fast food restaurant, and she's like, "Do you want to come back?" And I was like, wow. And I did. So I ended up, my husband ended up staying home for a few years. So that was a pretty big pivot. And I went back to work, but there was something in me. We all love our children so much, but for me, just being home every day with the children, was a challenge for me. It wasn't, you know, intellectually fulfilling, and I was struggling a little bit. And so,
me too. Yeah. And we feel guilty about that as moms.
Yeah, and I heard it in my voice. I still,
my younger daughter kind of goes through that, but she works at home. So she's able, you know, to be around, I think, more than somebody who's having to commute and such.
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt the same way because I think, you know, I think people who are want to be teachers and of younger children, you know, like elementary school, I mean, they're perfect stay at home mom types, but not everybody is built in, you know, their personality type doesn't cater to being the best place for their child. Yes, they love their child more than anybody, but I felt that my children would get more out of being with somebody who likes to do artwork and make a little rooster out of your hand. And that just wasn't me, you know, maybe that's, you know, people can judge, but I felt my kids turned out pretty well. And I, but I did stay home for like 3 years with them. So I did get a taste of what that was like.
Yes. Same.
Did so, you, you spent a little time with them?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I did. So I had this career. And so what I'm going to talk about next are, and again, I didn't even think of that pivot, but I think, you know, we can all look back at a lot of pivots we've had in our life. So, but I want to talk about two pivots that happened a little bit later in my life, 40s and a little bit later. So an important one was my grandmother, who lived in Iowa, which is where I grew up part of my life, was in the hospital, and we had gotten the news that this would be her last day. It's something that was somewhat planned and we knew ahead of time. So my sisters and all kind of raced there to be with her and spend time with her and say goodbye, which I did. I was in the room. I was able to talk with her and be with her. But at the same time, I was multiple times throughout the day, I was out in the hallway or outside the hospital dealing with calls from work. I have an important job. I got to do this too. And at the time, I really didn't think anything of it. That's literally what I thought. Like, I'm here, I'm doing what I should be doing, but I'm also doing my job. Like, isn't that great?
Yeah. I'm juggling two things. Isn't that great? Yeah.
Yes. And it ended up that during one of those calls, I wasn't actually in the room when she actually passed. And that was hard. To go through that. And then a couple of days later, we were all gathering for the funeral. And I see this in my mind today very clearly. I'm like, I'm on the phone negotiating pricing on a deal. Like there couldn't have been somebody else that probably could have stepped in and done that. But, you know, here I am dealing with this very powerful, intimate ex-family situation, and I'm on the phone with work. So it didn't really strike me at that time that there was an issue there. It was only later when I looked back, I was like, wow. I'm not sure that that's how I want my life to be. So sometimes these things will, I feel like I've been hit over the head multiple times with you need to change your life. And so I was getting these messages, but I wasn't I didn't do anything right away. But then a few years later, I was walking into a care meeting for my mother, who was in assisted living, and my whole family was there. We're all going. And that's a meeting where you all go in to get your family goes in with the caretakers, and you talk about how your family member is doing and what the next steps are. And we've got about 5 minutes, and I look down, my phone is ringing. And I knew instantly. It was a intuition. I knew right away, okay, this call is going to change my life. And I, instead of kidding, you know, no, I'm not going to deal with this right now because I'm dealing with my mother and that's more important. It was a business call. It was from my largest client. Those deals I had talked about, it was one of those deals. That client. So I picked it up and the client was like, we're canceling our contract with you. And it was it had a huge impact because it was, like I said, it was the largest client at my company. As a publicly held company, this is something that would mostly likely make the news, would potentially impact our stock price. And I had to deal with that. But I only had a few minutes because I had this very other important meeting. So I dealt with it. I probably wasn't the best salesperson at the time because, you know, you're supposed to do everything you can to save the deal. Well, I made a bit of an effort, but then I have to go and I'll follow up with this. So I took that call and then I walked into the meeting and I just wasn't present. And again, it was afterwards, I was like, wow. You know, my mother is just the most important thing to me in my life. And here I am not being present for what is so important to her. So that for me was probably the bigger wake up call where, okay, this is not working for me.
And I have a question. So I think some listeners, you know, they hear about intuition and they probably get nudges, but don't really recognize them as nudges. From somewhere else that is trying to push them to go where they need to go, not necessarily where they think they want to go, but ultimately we know less than these nudges do. So tell me did you study intuition? Did somebody tell you about how to get in touch with your intuition. So how did you know at the moment, like this was an intuitive thing that this was going to change your life? How did you know that?
So I didn't. And often we don't, but it was a gut feeling, like that sinking feeling in my stomach. And what I was aware of is that I had that feeling before I even knew what the subject of the call was going to be. So that told me something, like, there's more going on here. I didn't know what the content of the call was going to be, but I knew I had a feeling about it.
I just want to tell the listeners, anybody who's listening to this, because it sounds to me like you're very similar to me and a lot of people in that we look back. You're talking about these periods where you had these signs, but it wasn't until much later, because we're thinking like, why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you do anything? Because you didn't like put two and two together. So let this call or this episode be an opportunity for you to start to think back in your life about something like what Jen's sharing, something that you felt in your gut that you knew, but you did differently. Or that you felt like there was a bigger message being sent that you just ignored. And that's really, really a powerful exercise to do that.
Yes, I 100% agree. Because, so no surprise, I didn't make a big change right in that minute. But okay, now I'm getting these messages. I'm kind of understanding this isn't where, you know, I want my life to go. And then of course, what happened is then I lost my job. So I went through the process of trying to get everyone on the team, get them new jobs in the company as much as possible. I had to lay off about half of the team. So the company kept me around long enough to take care of things, make sure the client, we did the transition with the client, all of those things. But I was ready and waiting for the call the day that I was laid off. And that was my opportunity to start, again, an external event, even though my intuition was telling me where I needed to go. So that gave me the opportunity then to change things up. And I did. And I realized, you know, one, spending more time with my mother is my priority. I'm along with my children who were younger at the time. So then I did step into more of a consulting role where I had more flexibility in my time. In an executive role, there are just stress and pressures that I just didn't want to deal with, at least for that time period. So those are some examples of pivots that I'd had to deal with. And again, some out of necessity, oh, you're laid off, but some coming from an intuition as well.
Yeah. So you mentioned in your application that there were like 52 was a big pivot. So 7 years ago, was this when you went into the contract work, or was it a later pivot? Okay.
No. Okay. So it all started then. So, then we started talking about transformation. So that was when I started my transformation. That's honestly when I had time to start thinking about how do you want to live? It really started freeing up time. And I was able, that's also though, when I started thinking more about what do I want to do in this life? And from there, I went from that to, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. And so that's when I stopped working altogether for a while. But then on top of that, I got diagnosed with cancer. So then I become the caregiver for my family, my mother, me. So more pivots, just, and I think we all find ourselves in those situations where it's one pivot after another, after another.
That's a great example of a pivot that, is something unwelcome that is happens in life. So when you were this age at 52, how old were your kids? Just so listeners have an idea.
So they were just starting to get into college. So going through the college process.
So lots of change.
Yes. Yes. Ugh. Lots of change. So going through all of that, but through each one of them, and we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of ideas of, what people can do, but so it's taking that time. So when I had cancer, and was taking care of my mother and the family, that was the first time that I actually, cancer was what gave me, the time to rest and heal. I had never done that before. You know, if I just wanted to stay in my room and think about things, it was the first time I didn't feel that pressure, at least every day, to, I have to make dinner. Well, why does mom have to make dinner every night? Well, because that's what moms do. It was the first time I really gave myself time to rest, heal, think about
it. And it makes you wonder, like, if you had done that before, would you have gotten cancer? Like, you know, there's a number of studies that show stress leads to inflammation, which leads to lots of bad things happening in our bodies. And yeah, yes. So interesting.
And so I want to be very cautious about that, because I truly believe in manifestation. I don't believe we manifest things like our own cancers. For me personally, stress, I feel led to me getting cancer. Just the amounts of stress that I have dealt with. And I've had things from, you know, from when I was younger, just the buildup of that. I feel stress had so much to do with it. And so I was so fortunate, though, that I was able to take some time and really think about where I wanted to spend my time. And that's when I really started getting into, you know, I'm so passionate about supporting women. Because honestly, Lori, I mean, if I've had this hard of a time, so many other women have too. And I have so many privileges that I don't even know the privileges I have sometimes. But that doesn't mean I don't have challenges and that it's easy. So I really wanted to start just putting stuff out into the world that women could start clinging on to, hanging on to, so we could all, as we grow through midlife, feel so much better about it. And that took me some time, but that is what started me down this whole path of flourishing over 50, you know, not wanting to work a corporate job, wanting to support and empower women. And so that was really the foundation then.
What I'm hearing you say is you still wanted to make a big impact, but you needed to find a different way to do it. So yes. How best can I feel fulfilled by still serving in an impactful way?
Yeah.
And then do this maybe for as long as I can. Right.
Yes. And so, so this is where I got down this path of, you know, supporting women over 50 and all that. Well, so then I had another, great opportunity and another big pivot. So once my mother's, health was more under control, I went to work for Hillary Clinton, and I worked on Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. So in my mind, my goal was I'm pivoting in my career and I'm going to, support Hillary, work for her, and then I will have a whole new career, in her presidency, whether working in DC or, you know, working somewhere. But, and then we all know how that turned out. I had another huge pivot. I think pretty much at that point, I was like, okay, I'm doing this, my way. That's when I became a solopreneur and started creating content and building out a brand on my own. Like, I'm not going to rely on anybody else at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And I think a couple things came up for me. One thing is that I think when people, when they think they've had all these challenges, that they're different, like nobody else has ever had these challenges that they've had. But, there's no life that is the same, right? So everybody has their set of challenges, how they interpret them, how they experience them, how they navigate them. It's all unique to that individual. But I think when we get into our 50s, we get to a place where we're like, we finally, if we really want to, if we have this desire to help other people, we get to a point where we're like, hey, some of what I've learned can help other people.
Yes.
You know, and that's where I got, when I got into the best shape of my life at age 55. And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so amazing. And I would love to help other people feel this way, because I didn't think I could do it, but I did. And so it kind of starts from this experience and our own journey. And then our desire to make an impact and help other people is, it just makes it flourish.
Yeah. Oh, I so agree with that. So that's a little bit about how I got to, you know, where I am today. But one of the things I want to say about pivots, and that I hope we all, or I want to encourage everyone to be open to. So, you know, I talked about I was a sales and marketing executive, but I dealt with large scale strategy and systems. When I went to do this, I knew nothing about social media. Because when I was in the younger stages of my marketing career, there was no social media.
No.
Another great thing for me, part of this journey for me, because I'm a lifelong learner, I'm constantly, that's why I curate content, I read so much, but I had to learn how to build a website. I had to learn how, you know, we were talking in the beginning, Instagram Reels, like I've had to learn every bit of social media, blogging, writing, creativity, which is something I've never been involved with before, but being able to create a brand and use photography. So it's been a huge pivot, and it's been challenging, but I have learned so much. And I think that is another key lesson for everyone at our age. There's so much more you can do. You just have to put yourself out there.
Yeah. And what we avoid ends up being so enjoyable. I mean, it ends up being like I never thought that at my age, my brain would be able to like grasp new things like it does. And so It's been really rewarding and kind of a surprise to learn these things about myself. And so, yeah, social media, I got on social media. I think I got on Facebook in 2007, and it was only because my kids I had to follow them to make sure that, because they were like running rampant as like single girls in DC. And I was like, I gotta keep an eye on them. Yes. So you, what Jen was telling me before we hit record, of course, we were talking about Reels and how I've gotten into them. I did an episode recently about them, but having fun with them. So yeah. But you were talking about how you build content guides in all different genres or in different areas of expertise. And I thought that's so interesting because so many people, like, they hone into one thing in one area, but you clearly you're learning so much because you've got to research to build these content guides. And then you're serving these guides to people who might need the help. So can you share some examples? You talked about healthy eating. So you're learning as you're going about all these things. And I think that's great.
So, and Laura, I do want to actually just talk about that briefly, because I'm doing the opposite of what we're told to do really as kind of solopreneurs or entrepreneurs starting something up. We're really told you have to niche down as much as possible. So I have niched down to my women over 50, and that's the group I'm passionate about. But in terms of topics, I'm looking for ways to empower all women over 50. And we all come from different places. And sometimes someone needs help with self-care. Somebody else would like to learn about manifestation. Somebody else really needs to learn how to eat healthier. And to get started, I like to just provide practical resources. So I have some guides on all three of those topics as I'm just building out my content. It doesn't mean that you might not decide to go to a nutritionist at some point. It doesn't mean you might not decide to work with them or follow a manifestation coach or do something like that. But sometimes things get a little too in-depth and complicated, and then we drop it. So I like to put stuff out there that women can just start, eating healthy. You know, how do I do that? What does that mean? I don't have to be a dietitian to give advice about eating more fruits and vegetables. And by the way, here's some great ways to cook them. And we all know we do need to move more. And if you want to just walk, that's great. I don't have to be an expert in any of those things for people just to get started.
It's like that baby step. It's the first baby step when you're thinking, I can't be successful unless I hire a dietitian. So then you never take any step, right? Yeah. So I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I'm sure that a lot of things you do too can be submitted as articles, because you're always reading articles about the five things you need to know to do, you know. So
you can
repurpose, as they will, you know, or say content become kind of like knowledgeable in that area. Yeah. That's so great.
I think, do we have enough time to talk about maybe what to do when you're a little stuck or you're facing a pivot?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Let's wrap up with that.
Okay, great. So there's a couple of things. And the way I had, I guess, talked about it is for women, there are so many women in our age that I use the word unmoored, which means we're trying to find our way. We don't really feel 100% comfortable with where we are right now. We think or know maybe there's more out there for us, but we're not really sure what to do.
I just heard a really good analogy. When you're unmoored, you're unmoored made me think of it. And it's a book I'm listening to. And I've just listened to two, so I'm not sure which one it is. But it was a cork that bobs in the water with like aimlessly going where the riptide or whatever pushes it. Yeah. So isn't like it's unmoored and it's just like out there.
I'm going to be brutally honest here, Lori. I meet many women and I see them on Facebook and I see them on Instagram that have pretty much decided that's how they're going to live their life. They don't have the energy. They don't know which way to go. And so I'm trying to reach out to all those women who want to make a difference in their life. I'm not speaking to the woman who is comfortable that way, because that's okay too. But if you have this feeling that things just aren't, just not right, you're not feeling your best. I have a couple of suggestions. And there's so many things. I think working with you, Lori, and all the stuff that you do is kind of more specific and helps people on a more specific path. But a couple of recommendations I have. So one is what I like to say is you cannot live your best life carrying your baggage. And no one can set your baggage down but you. So you might not even know you're carrying baggage, but if you are down about something, if you are carrying hurt, somebody hurt you, if, for example, you've gone through divorce and you are still, let's say you've gone through it many years ago and you're still feeling the anger and the pain, there are so many things that happen to our life. It is so easy to wake up at 50 and just feel a little beaten down. One great idea to just get started on the path to change your life is I want you to, number one, just take some time to think about it, because we don't. We're busy, busy, busy doing this, doing that. Just sit in silence, start thinking about it. And it's hard because some of these things might bring up shame. You may have contributed to some of these things and maybe you don't want to think about that, but take some time, think about them, write them all out. It doesn't have to be a formal journal for those of you that don't have a journal or don't want a journal. Literally just start writing things out, thinking about them, and then do a burn ceremony, literally or figuratively. So a literal burn ceremony, if it's a full moon, that's even better. Burn those. And you may have to do it again and again and again, but at some point we have to set down our baggage.
Yeah, I became a manager at a new company, and the team that I inherited was so, I would say they had so much emotional abuse from the way they had been treated that I did a day. We went offsite and we did a burn. I had them write down all the words that they were like of the past, like year or whatever they were feeling. And we actually did do that. Yeah.
Yes. And it's very powerful. So think about it, do it and keep repeating it if you need to, but do know that all the baggage that you're carrying around is going to hold you back from living your best life. So that's one great thing you can do. And then the other thing you can do, so that's kind of getting rid of the baggage, but on the other side is I want you again, sit in silence, sit in stillness, wherever you can get it. I know it's hard, especially with COVID and everyone's home. I want you to start thinking about your dream life. And I don't want it to be, sure, go ahead and include some step ups, some little things. So I'm doing this now, I'd like to do this. You know, I'm walking today, I want to jog tomorrow. I want you to really dream. I want impossible dreams on that piece of paper. You can't get there if you can't write it down and see it. So start writing out those dreams, thinking about, you know, what do you want these next few decades to be, because I'm telling all of you, you literally have 30, 40, 50 years. So don't feel like I'm done. You're not. There are so many more things you can be doing, but unless you can dream it, you're not going to get there. So dream your best life, write it out, and just start thinking about it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And what I'd add to that last one is and this is what I've learned through going through the process myself, but is that we always tend to think in time, and time is a human created thing. And that time we put all of our beliefs, experiences, we wrap that all up. And if we're trying to make a list of what we want in the next 10, 20, 30 years, we're thinking, okay, I don't know that yet. I don't have that experience yet. I don't have those skills yet. All the things you don't have, and how can you get them? And so then we just say, oh, well, I'm not going to write that down, because that's just going to take too long. And we have no idea what is possible, especially when we have the universe helping us, when we just have to express what we desire and things will happen. I mean, Oprah says this. So if you've watched Oprah and believe like what Oprah says, it's, you know, her life is a good example of it. So yeah. So I love what you're saying, and it's so hard, because I've had students, and it's so hard for them to write things down that they don't feel is possible. And so, I like to just say time is of our own invention. We have no idea how fast things can be expedited into our life.
Yes.
And maybe you don't have the skill, but you'll meet somebody who has the skill and they'll say, hey, let's do this together. You know, you never know.
Right. It's not worrying about the how when you do that. But like you said, Louis, so it really goes full circle back to pivots. You have no idea what's coming up in your life. And there could be a pivot that puts you right on path towards something that you put on your dream list.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. So cool. So great. You're so wonderful, flourishing at 50 and being an example, or over 50. You'd have to change it. Like, no, you don't have to change to over 60, because you're still over 50 technically, right? Even when you're 100. So that's so cool. All right. Well, thanks. I'm so glad we hooked up on the gram, and we will see each other there. We'll continue to comment and stuff. And so thanks so much. And we'll see you around. Follow Jen. Go to the show notes. See what she's up to. We got links in there for you. All right.
Thanks, Lori. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.